out tonight, and don't forget that if you have a question about tonight's story, or a question how to find the places in the Bible, and you can read, or a question how you can be sure you have eternal life, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. No talking or whispering for our lesson for tonight. In last night's story, we found out how that the news was given that on the 13th day of the 12th month, every one of the Jews were going to be killed. When the Jews heard that, they began to put on sackcloth and ashes, and they wept and fasted. You see, they believed the message of the king, that on the 13th day of the 12th month, they were going to be killed. As I shared with you last night, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords from God's Word tells us that if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're going to be destroyed in everlasting destruction in the place called hell. The big question is, do you believe it? Well, when Mordecai found that out, we found out last night that what he wanted Esther to do is to go in and make a request on their behalf. But Esther sent back a message and said, everybody knows you cannot just walk into the presence of the king. If he doesn't hold out the golden scepter, you'll be killed. And I haven't been called for 30 days. Then Mordecai sent another message to her and said, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's palace more than all the Jews. For if you altogether hold your peace, deliverance will come from another source. And who knows, Esther, it might be for this very purpose that you were brought into the palace for such a time as this. Esther finally took it in that she too was going to be killed. Yes. And so what she asked Mordecai to do is to gather the Jews in Shushan together for fasting. She and her maidens would fast as well. And then she said, I will go in to see the king, and if I perish, I perish. She was willing to die. Yes, I think of that verse again, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Now, fellows and girls and men and women, I want to tell you something wonderful that happened when the Lord Jesus Christ died. When he died on the cross for our sins, yes, when he died there in Jerusalem in the temple, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place that only the high priest could go into once a year to make atonement for their sins, that veil split from the very top to the bottom. Yes, that veil split. So what does that mean? Now, you and I have access directly to God. You see, only the high priest in the Old Testament could go inside that veil once a year to make atonement for their sins. But today, oh, we have direct access to God. And I like that verse where it says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And the Word of God says this, wherefore Jesus also suffered for our sins. Yes. And he's making intercession for us. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ today is praying for you. But my friends, we can pray to Him. Because the moment you get saved and you receive Christ as Savior, you become a priest. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins and hath made us kings and priests, unto Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. You see, I don't have to go to a man. I don't have to go to a priest. I can go directly to Jesus Christ. That's what the Word of God says, that you and I, the moment we receive Christ as Savior, we become priests. And if you read the Word of God, you will find out that not only are we holy priests, that we should show forth His praises, but we also are royal priests, that we also should talk about Him and tell of His wonderful works that He's done. And so we find that the Word of God says also, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in time of need. What a great thing, like we sang tonight. What a friend we have in Jesus. We can go to Him in prayer. We can take every problem and care that we have and go directly to Him. And I want to say tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you don't know what you're missing, because He's always available and He will help us. And that, what a privilege we have that we can talk directly to God. And Jesus Christ is our mediator, or He is our go-between. Well, we found out that Esther, she said, after 3 days, that she would go in to see the king, and she would make a request, and if she perished, she would perish. She was willing to die to self. And so we find that as Esther thought about it, the first thing that came into her mind is, what was she going to wear? You see, you just don't walk into the presence of the king or into the throne room just dressed any way that you want to dress. You see, there was proper attire. And Esther knew, yes, that she could not just walk in anyway. And so she thought about that, and she decided that what she was going to do was to put on her royal robes. It's amazing to me how people today, they follow the methods of the world, the Christians even, and how they dress. One of the shocking things to me, of course, that's because of my age, I guess, but one of the shocking things to me was the latest thing that's happening even to brides. I don't know whether some of you people have witnessed it or not, but today we have young girls who are getting married, and even amongst people who are Christians in the churches, I have seen it where they wear these here strapless wedding gowns. And of all kinds, for a person to be modest as they are dressed when they're going to get married, we find that they're just following the world's trends. And that's very sad. But you see, there is such a thing as dressing properly when we come into the presence of the Lord, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, Esther, she wanted to be sure that she was dressed properly, and what she did is she wore her royal robes. And when she did that, yes, you can be sure that the others were praying for her. Now, as I said to you, prayer is not mentioned in the book because God did not place His name in Babylon. But that did not mean that they didn't pray. Oh, yes, they did. And it did not mean that God didn't hear their prayers. Yes, He did. But God does not place His name anywhere. Yes, His name was placed at Jerusalem, where He wanted them to be, but we find that they were there in Babylon, where the Persians were now in control. So Esther, after she was dressed, she went in to see the king. There was the king sitting on his throne. And as he sat on the throne, the king saw her coming. And as the king saw her entering into the courtroom, what he did is he put out the golden scepter. Oh, I like the fact that the king's hand is in the king is in the hand of the Lord, and as rivers of water he turneth it wherever he will. Yes, the Lord directed here as well. And Esther, she came and she touched the golden scepter. And the king said to her, Esther, what is your request? What would you like? I will give to you up to half of the kingdom. Think of it. Esther could ask up to half of the kingdom. Esther turned to the king and she said, O king, if I have found favor in thy sight, and if it seem pleasing in thine eyes, what I would like is for you and your most honored Haman to come to a banquet that I have prepared for you. And the king said, well, certainly. We'll be glad to come to the banquet that you have prepared. Now, you see, Esther was a very wise woman. She didn't right away spill out her problems. She decided that what she was going to do was to feed him first and then ask for what she wanted. You see, you know, girls, we can learn a lesson from that. When you have a busy day and you got all the problems from the kids and all the other difficulties, instead of just spilling out all the problems when your husband comes home from a hard day of work, what you should do is make him a nice meal, see, what he likes, and then lay it on him, see, and then you see, you get a little further. And so we find Esther, that's what she decided to do. Yes, she decided to invite him and the honored Haman to a special banquet. When Haman heard that he alone was invited by the queen to be with the king at a special banquet, oh my, he was filled with pride. You know what the Word of God says in Proverbs? It says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It also says this, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly, there is wisdom. We read also over in the book of Psalms 138, though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Yes, this man Haman, he was very proud. To think that people bowed to him, and to think now that he alone was invited by the queen to a special banquet. When they got to the banquet, oh, listen, it was the best of everything. Exactly the things that the king enjoyed eating and drinking. And they hardly got very far in the meal when the king spoke up again and he said, Esther, what is your request? What would you like? And I'll give to you up to half of the kingdom. And she said, O king, if I have found favor in thy sight, and it be pleasing in thine eyes, then what I would like for you to do is to come with Haman to another banquet that I have prepared for tomorrow. And then I will tell you my request. Oh, as I said, she was a very wise woman. She knew what she was doing. Do you know something? That the king offered her up to half of the kingdom? But you know what the Lord offers to us? Why, we read those words in the Gospel of John where it says, Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, I like that verse because, you see, when you talk to God and you ask for things, you got to be sure, as that verse says, that God can attach his name to it. You see, he's not going to give you something that he can't put his name to. But if he can put his name to it, and it's going to bring honor, why, the Lord will be glad to give it. And I like that verse that we read tonight also. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what ye shall, and it shall be given unto you. Well, that night, after the banquet was over with, Haman left. He was just floating on cloud nine, as you might say. Everything was going well until he got to the gate. And when he got to the gate, there was that Mordecai who refused to bow. And it made him so angry. Everybody else bowed down to him, but not Mordecai. When he got home, he told his wife, and he invited his friends and shared with them what had happened, how that the queen had invited him along with the king to a special banquet. But when he came out, there was that Mordecai. It ruined my whole day. It makes me so upset that everyone else will bow, but not him. And his wife and his friends said to him, Haman, if it bothers you that much, why are you waiting for the 13th day of the 12th month for him to be killed? Why don't you have your servants build a gallows of 50 cubits high, which would be about 80 feet? Why don't you do that and have him hung tomorrow? Good idea, said Haman. That's what I'll do. I'll get my servants busy on it right away so he can be hung tomorrow. I'll talk to the king about it tomorrow morning. That night, Haman could hardly sleep as he thought about what his servants were going to do to Mordecai. He wanted him destroyed. But that night, the king couldn't sleep either. Do you know what it says in the Psalms? That he gives his beloved sleep. Sleep is a wonderful thing. Some of you kids don't really know how good it is. But the older you get, oh, you really like your sleep. See, moms would like their sleep at times too. But, you see, the Word of God says that the Lord gives his beloved sleep. But that night, the king couldn't sleep. He was tossing and turning back and forth. He just could not get asleep. You know what his trouble was, don't you? You see, girls, you may think men are dumb, and they are, but they're not altogether stupid. He knew that the queen wanted something more than just to feed him. And he thought to himself, what does she want? What is she going to ask me for? And so he tossed back and forth in bed. And then, because he couldn't sleep, what he decided to do was to have one of his servants come and read the records. They didn't come to play music, no, or to play an instrument and sing. He asked for one of the servants to come and to read his records. And so, the servant began to read, and it came to pass that as he read the portion where this man Mordecai saved his life and told about those two men that were going to try to kill him. And those men were hung on a tree. And so he said to the servant that was reading, what did I do for that man that saved my life? Read on, read on. Well, Your Majesty, there's nothing that you did that's recorded in the records. You mean to say that the man saved my life and I didn't do anything for him? There's nothing recorded, Your Majesty. Oh, as I stop to think of that, it reminds me of the Lord Jesus who saved my life. And you know, oh, what a terrible thing it would be if there was nothing in the records that I've done for him. What about you, my friends? If you've been saved and you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, what would be in the records that you've done for the Lord? Oh, we need to ask ourselves that question. And the king said to his servant, "Did you see anybody in the courtroom this morning yet?" "Yes, Your Majesty. In fact, Haman arrived very early and he wants to see you." "Good. I would like to see him. Send him in. Send him in." And so we find that Haman came in and the king said, "Haman, I am so glad to see you this morning because I want to ask you a very important thing. Haman, if you were me and you wanted to do something special for somebody and honor them, what would you do for them?" Haman thought to himself, "Who would the king rather the honor than me?" Oh, he was so full of pride. He said, "Oh, Your Majesty, if I was you and you wanted to honor somebody, what I would do is I would dress him up in the king's robes. And then I would put that person on the king's horse. And then I would let that person wear the king's crown." What was he looking for? Was he looking for the throne? And as he spoke, he said, "One more thing I would do, Your Majesty. I would find one of your nobles that is greatly honored, and I would let that man lead the man that you want to honor through the streets so all the people will know that's how the king delights to honor someone." "Oh, Haman, that is a wonderful idea. I like it. Haman, that's exactly what I want you to do for that man, Mordecai, that sits down at the gate. And I want you to dress him up in the king's robe, yes, and put him on my horse, put the crown on his head, and you, Haman, I want you to lead him through the streets so all the people will know that I delight to honor him." Did the king see the change in his face? Oh, listen. Haman, he could hardly believe what he had heard, but he had to do what the king asked. So he went down to the king's gate. Most interesting that Mordecai didn't refuse to wear the clothes. He could see the hand of God working behind the scenes. And so there we find that Mordecai was led through the streets. Oh, it was a terrible day for Haman. And that day when he went home and he told his wife and his friends what had happened, it was his wife and his friends who said to him, "Haman, you're in big trouble." A lot of help they were. They were the one that suggested that he build the gallows. And now they're saying to him, "You're in big trouble." And as they discussed the event, the knock came on the door that he had to hurry because the queen was ready with the banquet. Once again, Haman went to the banquet, and he alone was there with the king. And once again, oh, it was a special meal. It was another great meal, just like the first one. Favorite things that the king liked to eat and drink. And oh, listen, The queen, she was ready to have a good time of fellowship with them. But you see, the problem was is that the king, he could hardly wait to find out what she wanted. So you see, the meal was hardly started once again when we find that the king spoke up and said, "Esther, my dear, what would you like? What is your request? And I will give you up to half of the kingdom." And as he spoke to her and asked that, Esther got teary-eyed. And as the tears began to come, she said, "Okay, what I'm asking for is for my life and for the life of my people. If you only would have made us servants and we had to work as slaves, I wouldn't be requesting. But the very fact that we're going to be killed, I come before you." The king said, "What are you talking about, my dear? What are you trying to say?" And she said to the king, "I am a Jew, and on the 13th day of the 12th month, we're all going to be killed. I and all my people." And the king said, "Who is seeking to do such a thing?" And she said, "That wicked man right there, Haman. He's the one that wants us destroyed." And the king was so angry, he got up from where he was sitting and he went out into the famous gardens. When he got up, Haman also got up from where he was lounging, because when they ate in those days, they lounged on couches. And what he did is he went over to where she was. And he fell down before her. And he began to plead for his life. He could see he was in big trouble. Oh, you see, it meant nothing to that man that thousands and thousands of Jews were going to be killed. But now that it was he that was going to be killed, he began to plead for his life. And the king came back out of the garden. And he saw him there on her couch, begging for his life. And he said, "What is he trying to do? Is he going to force the queen?" Some of the servants that saw the king's anger, what they did is they took a bag and they put it over the face of Haman. And then they said to the king, "O king, he has prepared a gallows to kill Mordecai. It's 80 feet high, 50 cubits." And the king, when he heard what he was going to do, he said, "Take him out and hang him on the gallows." So they took Haman out. He never saw the king's face again, for he had a bag over his face, and they took him out and hung him. Oh, listen, my friends, the Word of God makes it very clear. Be sure your sins will find you out. Yes, you can be sure of that. That your sins will find you out. And he was taken out to be hung on the gallows. Oh, listen, fellows and girls and men and women. If he had just died when he was hung there, and that was the end of him, there would be nothing to worry about. It's the same thing with you, my friend. If you were just to die, and that would be the end of you, you'd have nothing to worry about. But you see, after you die, the real you that lives inside of you, is going to live forever and ever. And it's either going to be in the place called hell, or it's going to be in heaven. The choice is yours. I think it's wonderful to recognize that the Lord Jesus wants to give to you the gift of eternal life. You can't work for it. You can't do anything of yourself. It's free. Yes. But if you never take that gift, it's going to be everlasting damnation in the lake of fire, the place called hell. It was right after this that Esther spoke up, and she said to the king, "O king, I want to tell you that Mordecai is my cousin. In fact, it was Mordecai who raised me after my parents passed away." Well, when the king heard the connection, why, he called for Mordecai to come in. And he said to Mordecai as he stood before him, "I took that ring that I had given to Haman off of him, and I am going to give that ring to you. You have the power and the authority that Haman had. And to you, Esther, everything that Haman owned, it's yours. You can do whatever you want with it." And Esther turned to Mordecai, and she put him in charge of all the things that Haman owned. Yes, she told that Mordecai was her cousin. But you see, there was a big problem still. The law stated that on the 13th day of the 12th month, all of the Jews were going to be destroyed. They were going to be killed. And once again, the law made it clear. And the laws of the Medes and the Persians cannot be changed. And Esther, as she thought about that law, you see, once again, Esther decided to go in to see the king. She wasn't called, and she said, "Well, your majesty," as he held out the golden scepter to her, "change the law." And he said to her, "Esther, whatever is written. I can't change it." But Esther, as she pled, "Oh, listen," the king said, "I gave Mordecai my king, my ring rather. I gave him my ring, and he has the authority to write whatever he wants. And when he writes the letters, I want to tell you, Esther, that the government, the kingdom will be behind him and whatever is done." So you see, as Esther bowed before the king gave that permission that the government would fight for them as they wrote new laws. But the law stood, my friends. They were going to die on the 13th day of the 12th month. Do you know the law stands today for us? For the word of God says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and do one thing wrong, he's guilty of all." You know something about me? I broke more than one of the Ten Commandments. I'm guilty. What I deserve is to go to hell because of my sin. I know something about you. You broke more than one of the Ten Commandments. And you're guilty. You deserve to go to hell. Oh, listen, it doesn't make any difference who you are in this room. Everybody has broken one of the commandments. And the law makes it very clear. "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, For all have sinned. Nobody had to teach me how to sin, to do wrong. Nobody had to teach you how to do it. It comes automatically. You do it. But this is the good news, my friends. Jesus Christ, He paid the price for my sins. He paid the price for your sins because, you see, Jesus Christ never sinned. And because He never sinned, that's why He could die for my sins. Sin has got to be paid for. The wages or the payment of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And all you need to do is to cry out in prayer to Him and take that gift, and you've got eternal life. Oh, it was wonderful, because you see, the King stood behind them whatever they wrote. And when the 13th day came in Shushan, where the palace was, 500 were killed, but not one Jew. On the 14th day, 300 were killed, but not one Jew. Because you see, the King's army fought for the Jews. Oh, just like the Lord fought for us. Then on the next day, 75,000 were killed, but not one Jew. You see, the Jews were spared. Oh, what a tremendous thing. Oh, to think in this story about that man, Haman, who wanted all the money that the Jews would leave behind. He got nothing. Nothing. You know what the word of God was that we read tonight? What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I want to ask that question or quote that verse for you. What good is it if you have everything in this world that money can buy? What good is it if you lose your own soul? You see, when you come into this world, like our verse says, you come in naked. You don't bring anything. When you die, you go out naked. You don't take anything with you. Oh, tonight, I trust that you're sure that you know where you're going to spend eternity. Because as it says, what good is it if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? If you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. Every eye closed and head bowed.